2001, when the Twin Towers fell. We thought we were invincible as a nation. But God showed us different, didn't he? And again, tears fell and prayers went up, and we mourned again together as a nation. But do you realize that that was 20 years ago already? 20 years. And we're in the biggest mess this country has ever been in 20 short years. We need God now more than ever. And prayer is the only way that we will ever be the nation that we remember again. So now I'm going to give you a confession. I fall short in this area. I don't pray like I should. So when I say that, can you say the same thing? Do you pray for our nation as we should? Or do you fall short like I do? And so if we do, if you can say that like I'm admitting to, then we can probably understand why we're in the mess that we're in. So I think that we need to fall on our knees and ask God's forgiveness for being so lazy about praying for something that's so important. So having said that, our Pledge of Allegiance is important to all of us for one reason or another. So I would like to all of us stand in unity and say the pledge. And I will try to lead it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for what it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you and praise you for our great nation. We do ask that you forgive us when we take our privileges and our freedoms for granted, and that we don't respect you for who you are and for being the one who has blessed us to the point where we're at. We ask that you would revive us as individuals and then as a nation so that we once again could be the nation to be the shining example in this world. We know that it's not ever going to happen without your help. So we just thank you and praise you for who you are. We ask that you be with us for the rest of this service and just help us reflect today on what being an American actually really means to us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We are going to do a medley of some patriotic songs, but to start off this morning, we are going to sing where God has been so gracious to our country and to us, as great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
have seen the glory. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for being here this morning. We thank you for being amongst us, and we thank you for this great nation, Lord. We thank you for all those who have sacrificed for our freedoms, and we just want to tell you how thankful we are for being able to live here and worship here, and we just want you to be with us today. Keep everyone safe in the celebrations, and just be with our congregation and all those who aren't here today, maybe celebrating with family and friends wherever they are. Just bring them home and bring them back safely to us. Lord, be with Pastor Jay today as he brings us the message, and just open our hearts and our eyes and our ears to hear what you want us to hear, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Independence Day. Independence Day. You may notice on the highway sign it says, Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. But Independence Day is a very important time, and I'm gonna bore you with a little reading here, if you don't mind. In Congress, on the fourth day, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. Now, they met on the 2nd. It was proposed, this declaration, on the 2nd of July. They came back 2 days later and voted it into place. There was one vote from New York absent, and then they later joined, and it became unanimous. When in the course of human events it begins, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. In other words, we're ticked off and we're ready to leave. That's how I would say it. We hold these truths, they said, to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He goes on, they go on to enumerate all of the abuses. I want to read you the end of the story here. We therefore, after enumerating all the abuses that led to this declaration, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And so that was that, right? Everything was good after that. So a declaration was made, kind of like the declaration that we saw in Genesis 15:6, where Abraham believed God and it was counted to him, declared to him to be he's stated to be in a status, a state of righteousness. And that was that, right? No, he went on to show human frailty. He went on to manifest weakness. He went on, in some instances, to manifest unbelief. And so, however, gaining independence does begin with a declaration, does begin with a resolve. Remember what happened. They gave this proclamation. This declaration was written and signed and agreed to, and it was July of 1776. But in 1777, they're still fighting. And Britain is still trying to impose itself. And they had what was called the Stamp Act, where they had all the documents coming in country and for whatever document, a marriage license, whatever thing, whatever was on paper, you had to pay a tax. And Patrick Henry was giving impassioned speeches saying, we have this representation. We have this rule without representation. This can't be. And he was stirring up a fervor against it. And so the colonists would not even let the ships be unloaded with these documents. Finally, Britain backed away. But then they made another declaration. We still, however, can say what we want to do and govern you the way we want to. And so this back and forth and tensions kept mounting until a skirmish broke out. And a year later, 12 months later, it was a full-scale war. And by 1778, it wasn't over. I thought they declared their independence. I thought it was done. No, it didn't. It didn't go in the favor of the colonists until something happened. The French joined. The French joined in on our side. And then we won our freedom. Isn't that just how it is in the spiritual realm? We've declared our freedom. We say that we're saved by faith alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And it says on our sign, because it says in Romans chapter 4, God justifies the ungodly. And if it didn't say that in Romans chapter 4, guess what? It wouldn't say that on our sign. We didn't just make that up because it looked cute. It's because that's what God's word says. However, the process that ensues after that declaration is made of our righteousness is up to us in part. There's a reason why the title of today's sermon is Holy Spirit Help. Holy Spirit Help. Like when the French joined the colonists. We need somebody to join us, or we will not win our independence. It's time for some in this place. I don't know who you are. I don't have names in my mind. But I'm guessing that some of you need to declare this as your day of independence. That is the day when you stop fighting to a draw like they did in 1777, and you start calling on the Holy Spirit to help you. To help you. What does it say in John chapter 14, verse 6? Jesus said, I'm going to send another one like me, to help you. And in the Latin, it means someone who comes alongside with strength. So when we looked last week at Ephesians 6:10, and it says, be strong in the Lord. That word, that verb be, is in the passive voice. So if it was in the active voice, it would mean, okay, bootstrap yourself up and be strong. But it's in the passive voice, so it doesn't mean that. And the operating phrase, or the qualifying phrase, is in the Lord. So passively be strong in the Lord causes the Christian to think and to know that he needs the help of God to do it. Well, where are we going to get that help? Well, if he sent another one like himself, the Holy Spirit, and it means, comforter means, from the Latin, one who comes alongside with strength. Doesn't it make sense that we pray, God, Holy Spirit, who was sent to help me, who was sent to strengthen me, please. And you name the sin. You name the temptation. You name the bondage. You name the thing you need independence from. And say, please help. And what did we say last week? In John chapter 7, 25 and 26, I think it was, if you thirst, come to the water. And the water represents the Holy Spirit. So we must first desire it. And then we must, and the water represents Holy Spirit. And we must then believe that he'll deliver it. And I said to you something very bold last week. I don't know if you caught it. I said, every time I prayed that prayer, I've been stronger right now. The sad thing is, sometimes I have liked my sin so much, the thought that I haven't prayed that prayer. So I didn't until recently start experiencing that immediate help comes, but you've got to call it out. You're so familiar with some things that you have in your mind that they almost become friends. I'm not happy to say that I like some of those thoughts. I'm saying that that's the truth. I'm leveling with you, okay? When you pray that prayer, right now the strength comes. Doesn't mean you're now going to walk away perfect, but the battle is going to start tilting in the way of righteousness, and you're going to walk free. So what is it, a thought of coveting your neighbor's barn or animals or wife, or is it a thought of bitterness that you have? You just can't stand that person because of it, or that event that happened because of this. What is it? What is it? You got an unfair shake on a deal of some kind. What is it? What's that sin that so easily besets you? I don't know what it is. I just know what mine are. So Holy Spirit help should be a prayer that jumps out of your mouth. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm having this thought right now. I know it's not right, and I need your help. And I believe you're there to help me, and I'm going to walk away from this thing right now. Now, I've made that declaration, but it's a prayer declaration, and he's right there to help. You know, the scripture talks about we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and there's two Greek words for the word that translate to the word temple. One just means the temple at large. The other one is inner sanctuary. We, the believers, are the inner sanctuary for the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. So we need to make today our Independence Day. You say, well, Jay, it sounds too easy. I know, it sounds easy. But it's a fight, isn't it? So I want to take you finally to Romans 6 and help you think about how you might apply this all. Romans 6:11. So you also must consider yourself dead. Have you ever stopped to consider yourself dead to sin? I'm dead to that. Well, you're so alive to it, it doesn't make sense to say that you're dead to it, right? But he's saying that's how you should consider it. He's saying, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Have you done that? Should you do that? Please start doing that. I'm trying to start doing that. I'm dead to this thought. I'm dead to this envy, whatever it is. I'm alive to Christ. And whatever he is asking me to be focusing on. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. So it's not enough to declare I'm free in Christ. I have to decide to not let sin reign in my body, and I have to ask the Holy Spirit's help, because I've had my hat handed to me every time I've tried to do it on my own. Right? You can say amen. It's not a charismatic church, but go ahead. Do not present your members, and that's talking about not just your eye, your foot, your hand, but your faculties, your imagination, your thoughts, everything that you can garrison, everything you have control over. It says, present your members, don't present them as members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So the Holy Spirit's job is to help you get sin out of your life and to develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That's his job. Knowing his job, talk to him about it. Father, Holy Spirit, I need this thing out of my life. I want to have all of those the fruit growing, and I see it's not growing at the level or at the pace that it should, in my opinion. Help me. As those that have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin, verse 14, will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So today, declare this your Independence Day. Maybe you've been trying to bootstrap this. The Christian life is not a self-help technique. The Christian life is designed to be a dependence upon God, I am cooperating with God and leaning on him heavily. And so maybe you haven't been leaning on him like you should. That's all I'm calling. I'm not calling you to try harder. I'm calling you to depend more and thereby experience Independence Day spiritually. Yeah, the country seems to be going to Hades in a handbasket. But this message is more important than that. Let it go to Hades in a handbasket. When it goes down, I'm going to be free. I'm going to be standing where I should be standing when the man who's going to judge me looks me in the eye. Jesus is going to look me in the eye. And he's not going to ask me if I'm Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative. He's going to say, what did you do with what I told you, knucklehead? It's what exactly he's going to call you a knucklehead too, maybe. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for freedom in this country. What a jewel. No matter what the media has said, it is the greatest country on earth, period. Amen. But, Lord, we pray for this nation. We ask, Father, that you raise up a standard and raise that standard up through us, through our lives, through our lights so shining before men that they can't help but see the love of Christ, the life of Christ, the principles of Christ, the glory of Christ beaming from our countenances. And it will have a thirsting effect. It will salt them, wanting them to find where we have found what we have, and give us that precious opportunity to lead one or two or many to yourself. Do it in our lives, Father, so we stand as that standard, and those that you want to bring in to your kingdom through our lives, we pray you graciously give us that opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to have communion with you, and I want to just read something to you in 1 Corinthians 5:8. There's not a consensus on this verse, but some of the scholars that I have come to trust view it this way. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians 5:8. Let us therefore celebrate the festival. And some say there's a hearkening or an allusion to communion in that word. Let's celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, not with my old attitudes, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I hope that's how you're coming to this celebration this morning. And then I'll read you the familiar passage that we always look at, 1 Corinthians 11:23 and following. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you stand? We're going to sing the last verse of Were You There? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Rose from the dead. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Lord, we just thank you so much for your love, for this precious time together as a family. And we pray, Father, that we go forward claiming our independence and winning our independence much more as you come alongside us to strengthen us in the fight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being there and taking up your permanent abode in the inner sanctuary of our bodies. May we host you well. In Jesus' name, amen.